Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, how important is the role of international Muslim charity organizations in today's world?
Muslims regard charitable giving as an important religious duty in their lives. Many religious scholars regard charity just as important as praying to God. This constitutes one of Islam's five pillars and is called zakah, the Arabic word for purification. However, the charitable deeds of Muslims lack a visible presence in the world. This could be mainly because Muslims are not allowed to advertise their charitable works. According to Islam, it is more virtuous to give charity anonymously. In recent years, however, some large Muslim charities have entered the international arena. Among them are Muslim Aid, Muslim Hands and Islamic Relief. For example, after the Boxing Day tsunami of 2004 and the earthquake in Kashmir 2005, three major Islamic charities in Britain donated £1.7 million of emergency relief. This week's Islam and Life asks, how important is the role of international Muslim charity organization in today's world?
Solidarity and justice are two important principles and objectives in Islam. In fact, when we come back to the very essence of Islam and the pillars of Islam, of course, we find zakat, which is a purifying social tax that every Muslim man and woman has to pay. And this is a pillar of our religion, which is connected to something which is very essential, is a way we pray with our money. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said once, I am going to fight anyone who is going to separate between praying and giving money, the zakat, which is a pillar. And Muslims are understanding this as the essence of their religion. And throughout the world, through organizations at the local level, at the regional level, national level, international level, they are and they have to be involved in anything which has to do with solidarity. In fact, using solidarity to try to implement justice. What is the state of affairs when it comes to what the Muslims are doing? In a time where we are understanding and there is a very strong pressure against Islam, the Islamic principles, and very often when we try to help some people in the name of terrorism, in the name of not clear activities, there is suspicion about what the Muslims are doing around the world. These are critical questions. What do the Muslims do in that field? In which way they are dealing with the issue and how could be done to improve the situation. To answer these questions, I'm joined by Saif Ahmad, founder and CEO of Made in Europe, a Muslim youth campaign organization and the former CEO of Muslim Aid. Thank you so much for being with us. As I was saying, for the Muslims and coming from the Islamic background, solidarity and justice and the connection between solidarity and justice is very important. It's not only charity, it's deeper than this in Islam. If you look at what is happening now, very often the Muslims, when they are asked about this, you know, when comparing what they are doing with Christian and Jewish organizations, yeah. Say, oh, this is part of our religion. We are doing it anyway because it's zakat and we are adding to this sadaqah, and sadaqah, it's open to everyone. If we look at what is happening now in the world, what is the state of affairs when it comes to the Muslim organizations? How well or not so well are they doing?
I think the Muslim charitable movement is a recently new phenomenon. I mean, it has began, you can say, roughly around 25, 30 years ago when the Muslims are beginning to organize themselves and channel their resources and take the resources back to the peoples in need. But it has become much more sophisticated. And the issue that you raised about this is that justice and solidarity, which goes hand in hand, people have started to understand it, and it is a new science being developed, because Islam is for whole mankind, and Allah is the creator of all human beings, whether you're Muslims, Christian, Jews, yes. Every creation is created by Allah. And Islam looks at humanity as one family. So therefore, whenever any parts of humanity is in distress, Islam stands for it, Islam responds to it. And the Islamic obligation of zakat and also sadaqah comes along, and Muslims are beginning to understand how to channel this act of worship, ibadah, into serving the humanity. But and that sector is maturing now.
Yes, but why? You and me, we know how much these principles are embodied in any teaching within Islam. When we talk about solidarity, it's the second pillar, the practical pillar of Islam is to pay zakat. Sadaqah is something that we have to do. Ramadan will be coming. We know that we have to do more. There is, the Prophet, peace be upon him, asking God, oh God, we ask you to love the poor people.
Yes.
As if, to love you, it's to love them.
Absolutely.
It's essential. And what you are saying compared to the Christian tradition in solidarity is that it happened and started only 30 years ago. Why? Why is it, have we been so late in the process?
I think this is a very interesting question, Brother Ramadan. But interestingly, the Muslims were individually giving their zakat, giving their sadaqah, is optional one, from the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they're doing it. But in an organized manner, organized fashion, it is a new phenomenon.
Okay.
Because people can see that if you join hand, you can reach out to the people. And you have rightly mentioned about the Pakistan earthquake and also tsunamis in Indonesia and that part of the world. At that time, that level of scale of catastrophe suddenly wake people up. Because at the same time, 73,000 people in northwest Pakistan being killed overnight. Many of their families are over here in the UK from the Mirpur region. And they suddenly feel overwhelmed with such the catastrophe. Since the Muslims were together, they were able to come and rescue that side of it. And then the understanding of the Muslim organizations and professionalization is going hand in hand at the same time. But if I were to say address your question, why did it not happen? I mean, it is a million-dollar question. I think Muslims are waking up. Muslim had got the Quran and the Sunnah. Why did the Khalifate of Hazrat Ali collapsed? What happened? But I think from the history, we should learn our lessons, and we should move on and move forward.
But you said something which is very important. A word which is very important is professionalism.
Yeah.
Is that it's not enough in the name of solidarity to give you zakat and say, okay,
yes,
do what you can with this. When we are fighting poverty, it's a jihad.
Absolutely.
Jihad against poverty. You need to know the causes. You need to understand
Absolutely.
What is happening. You need to help the people not only to eat today, but to get the way to be able to produce in order. The Chinese proverb is very right in this, is not to give you fish, but to help you to fish in order to get
Absolutely.
The fish and to be independent. In fact, the way we were dealing with zakat, for example, is to help someone once. Why? What we need out of zakat is to help people to be autonomous, and it's completely different.
Absolutely.
I think that what you are saying now, that we are aware through the example of other organizations
yeah.
that we should do more and get a philosophy of zakat and not a very simplistic implementation.
Yeah. I think, Brother Tariq, the question that you mentioned is that poverty is a battle, war.
Hmm.
And in fact, it is like every war. You have a strategy, you have got your media,
yeah.
you have
yeah.
got your armaments, you have got your the way you mobilize your troops and attack the enemy. Enemy is poverty. I think this is a solid area where the Muslims can forge alliances with every single individual on this earth. Because if poverty strikes in Peru, it should hurt me.
Hmm.
If it strikes in Philippines, it should hurt me too. And that's why when I was CEO of Muslim Aid, after typhoon in Philippines, we send our reliefs and support to the people, mostly in Catholic. And they're saying, why you are here? I said, we are Muslim. We care for the whole humanity. Same thing happened in Solomon Island. This is the first organization to go and support there, support the people in distress. So I think...
And it's important to hear you saying this, because, when I was dealing with people at the United Nations and people who are working on the ground, the people who have, years of professionalism, their understanding is the problem that we have with some Muslim organization at the international level as well as the local level, that they care mainly about Muslims. And what you are saying is that through your experience, and we have some now international big solidarity yes, yes. organizations that are doing well, they care about non-Muslims, because this is something which is important. A poor man or a poor woman has no religion. We should care for the dignity of humanity
absolutely.
Before asking the people their religion.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that has been the case during the Prophet ﷺ time and the Khulafa Rashidun and also the pious followers of the Prophets and so on. That has been the case. But now that we live in a nation state system, we need an organized society, the world is a global village, we need to actually utilize it to the full, to professionalize and deliver and to strategize how to eradicate poverty. I give you some example, brother, as we and you and I speak, 2.5 billion people on earth do not have adequate water and sanitation. I was waiting for the show and I had a nice cool glass of water. They said, do you like coffee or tea or what? I said, water. But that glass of water is not available. When I was in Darfur, I went there, I saw little boy and girl walking miles, 10 miles, 12 miles
water.
To get one bucket of water.
Yeah.
Have we taken a strategy, global strategy? Why not the Muslim take the lead? Because it is a big enemy. Our fellow brothers and sisters do not have clean water. 790 million people do not have safe drinking water. In Bangladesh alone, 25% of the children's death are from waterborne diseases because impure water. And that battle is going on, killing so many people. So many people are being martyred, you can say, in that angle. But what strategy have Muslims managed to bring in? What a strategy? Why the head of states?
But it's important what you are saying is the question of strategy. Very often when we deal with our pillars in Islam, say, okay, there is zakat, but we are not integrating zakat and sadaqah into a philosophy of solidarity, a pedagogy of solidarity,
absolutely.
Which is make the people understand that it's not to give the money, I don't care, you gave the money and that's enough. You need to be within something
absolutely.
Which is, as we said, a war, a strategy is needed. Do you see over the last few years now that things are
changing.
Really improving and
absolutely.
Changing?
Absolutely. And that's why Brother Tariq Ramadan has formed this organization called Made in Europe, Muslim Agency for Development Education. It's a Muslim youth-led. We raise the issues like, say, maternal health. 1,000 women die every day in childbirth. And 90% of this death can easily be stopped without measured capital investment. Through spreading the knowledge and getting some trained nurses and midwives around in remote places where women are giving birth without any facilities. And that was not taking place. Even by the major Muslim agencies, large organizations did not spend significant amount for maternal health care. They can have orphan care and others, but the understanding was not mature. So we are campaigning on this, like maternal health. People should be investing, having infrastructure to save lives. I mean, if you were to consider the number of women killed in Afghanistan over the last 10 years is more from maternal death than all the battles and war that you talk about. So there are silent killers going on. It's maternal death, child mortality. One fifth of the children in sub-Saharan Africa do not achieve the age of 6. They die before that. Why they die? They do for malnutrition. 43% of the Bangladeshi children, poor country, are malnourished. Yet, the country's economic growth rate is 7%. As an international charity, it is our role to understand how to strategize, how to even advise the government in terms of reduction of this. Like, malnutrition is one aspect. It's another killer, which brings a child less intelligent, maybe sort of a gullible type. If a 10-year-old boy do not have enough protein in life, will become, the brain will not function more than 6 years. So when they become adult, they cannot function like an adult. And this is endemic in the Muslim nations. And yet, how many Muslim scholars, Muslim leaders are aware of it? Have they come up to the United Nations? We need to do X, Y, and Z with regard to reduce the malnutrition of the country. And one third of the world populations are suffering from malnutrition. I think the Muslims has got enough item on the agenda to fight and build global alliances.
These are other battlefields where the Muslims should be involved.
Should be the leading.
And what you are saying is very important is that we keep on repeating that this is the essence of our religion. Now to translate this into practical engagement and actions, it's missing. I have another question for you, which is coming out of these experiences that I have seen on the ground. And this is very important. We are talking about Africa, we are talking about Asian countries, and this is very important to understand that solidarity for us is beyond our religious community.
Absolutely.
It's وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We dignify human beings and we are supporting everyone. Now, sometimes the perception is that for the Muslim organization, solidarity, it's also difficult because of the suspicion that we have in the world today. And I take one example which is known by everyone, which is Palestine.
Yes.
You know, Palestine is a question of justice, and we are making it out of this, you know, silence around it coming from the greatest power. It's something which is a humanitarian cause we should help. And then when we try to help the Palestinians, it's become a political thing by saying, oh, this money is coming to supporting terrorists and supporting. And then you find, you know, I myself was banned from the United States of America for 6 years because I was supporting an educational project there, and say, oh, so what? So what can we do? And then the suspicions is going everywhere. When you are qualified, or you have your specificities, a Muslim organization, there is a great deal of suspicion. Who is giving the money? What is this money for, and who are you supporting? Are you facing this, and how can we change this?
Of course. I mean, like, my young daughter is 16-year-old girl, and she is an activist campaigner of Made in Europe. They have recently done a project with Made in Europe, with Oxfam, talking about the thoughts and thinking of the young Gazan children. So they, this art exhibition, the young children, how they express their feelings, their drawings is made of tanks, made of bullets, and all this. So those exhibitions were exhibited in London Muslim Center for the young campaigners, collected all these arts and showed that this is what the Gazan children were feeling at this moment. No political comment, nothing. And even some of the MPs were so interested, they said, can you display that in the parliament? So it was displayed in the parliament, where my young daughter spoke in front of the MPs about what the Gazan children are saying. They said, we want all the children of the world should have the opportunity to live with dignity.
Yes,
so if we can actually depoliticize the message and see why our Gazan brothers and sisters, children, our children, your children, are living in this dire situation, what can we do so that they can have a normal living? So if we can actually raise the question in that angle, and even if it to the Western powers, top powers, saying that, can you ensure this Gazan's children to live with dignity, with a normal going to school, coming back, having a picnic, how can you ensure that? Please give us a recipe. And actually, I think I would say, give this question to the Israeli Prime Minister, to tell us, how can we ensure a Gazan children to live a life like your children in Tel Aviv? Give us an option.
Yes.
We'll follow your option. No,
but it's still what it means, listening to you, is that it's still solidarity. It's still political in the way it's manufactured and used by some, you know, media, and the way you are, depending who you are supporting, you are the good solidarity organization and the bad one. And this is sad, because at the end of the day, it's as if the Palestinians and other Africans, the way they are perceived, they have less dignity than other people,
less human being, I suppose.
Exactly.
Yes.
So this is something which is quite important, and very often the Muslim solidarity organizations are facing this, and they have to try to find strategies just to work on other fields in order to be able to reach the people, for example, in Palestine that are suffering, and they are suffering.
Yes. I mean, in my career as when we were a delivery agency Muslim Aid, I worked with a large Christian group called United Methodist Committee of Relief, in the US based. A proselytizing organization, yet we found common ground to work for the victims of war in Sri Lanka. So we developed a mechanism to work of points of agreement.
Yes, when I would synergy say to, and synergy. Working with others. Yeah.
So I think in terms of Palestine, maybe a difficult issue for some of the major organizations because of their where their origins are. But if we identify 8-9 common grounds, then we can actually address on the Palestinian issues as or on the difficult issues.
If listening to, you know, knowing your experience, you have been working in many different organizations for years now. If you look ahead and we ask that what the Muslims are doing now, it's quite effective and efficient. What I heard coming from people who are working with your organizations on the ground are saying, yes, the Muslims are doing good. What should we improve for in the near future as solidarity, Muslim solidarity organizations? What could be done to improve the situation?
I think the improve the situation is that more collaboration with, I would call it, mainstream organizations, working with
people
Oxfam,
of other faith,
Save
yes.
the Children,
yeah.
people of other faith or no faith, and identify the common ground which touches them. I mean, I will be seeing the chief exec of WaterAid, because water is a major concern. There is shortage of water. Believe me, Brother Tariq Ramadan, next war will be war on water.
Yeah.
I can assure you on that. There's such a shortage of water. There is no concept of rainwater harvesting in many countries and so on. So I think Muslim organizations should take an aggressive role in getting collaboration with the major organizations for two reasons. One, to learn and to professionalize their approach and get out of the simplistic understanding that you get your surplus money and give it to somebody else, and I think you are relinquishing responsibility. From that simplistic notion to go to strategizing the how to bring about, how to fight the global poverty and eliminate poverty from the face of this earth. Because it is Allah's earth, Allah has given us as a custodian to take care, to look after, to nourish. Let us work with the other slaves of Allah who may not belong to my faith, but nevertheless, Allah provide them the sustenance.
And they have the same objective.
Work with them, collaborate with them, send them secondment, arrange secondment arrangements from the Muslim community organization staff, can work there, bring their expert to work with you, take them as brothers and sisters of humanity, and that way we can actually demolish the prejudice and the distance and work closely. And I'm for collaboration, and through collaboration, Muslim ideas can be mainstreamed, inshallah.
Thank you so much for that. I think that listening to you, something which is quite important is what you said at the beginning, is that the new awareness for with Muslims and understanding that they have to professionalize what they were doing. Zakat is good, sadaqat was there, people were doing it on an individual ground, but they have to be much more professional and having strategies, because at the end of the day, it's war against poverty. This is a third thing, which is after 30 years, what we see on the ground is Muslim organizations doing quite well. And that's true that when we listen to what is said in the United Nations, that international level, they are doing well. Now there is a step forward, is to go in this age of suspicions towards Muslims, is to be able to work with others, other organizations, Christians, Jewish, non-believers, even as long as the objectives and the principles are shared, is something which is important. And something that could be important also for Muslims to understand, it's so much rooted in the Islamic tradition that at the end, through solidarity, we can make clear that we have something to contribute in the world in the name of solidarity, always connected to justice. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is the way to contact us.
Islam in Life welcomes your opinion. So please send us your suggestions as well as criticisms on any of the shows you have seen or would like to see. You can do all this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also be part of our online platform by joining our Facebook page, Islam and Life, on Press TV, where you can share your thoughts with other Islam and Life fans, engage with debates, and view past shows.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Saif Ahmad. Thank you so much for being with us and your input today. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.